Matthew chapter 26. I want to speak for a few moments this morning on the subject matter of personal dishonesty. Personal dishonesty. Now, of course, we all know when somebody is being dishonest, you know, they're either lying or they're stealing or they're doing cheating, they're doing something. But when we become Christians, to a very large degree, we lay those things aside, those external sins. But even though that may be the case, there can still, and oftentimes is, within the heart of Christians, a degree of personal dishonesty. They may never steal a dollar. They may never tell a lie. But inside, there's an unwillingness to deal with the truth of their internal situation. And what do I mean by that? As human beings, all of us are the same way. It's easier to blame somebody else than to say I'm deficient. Can I get just one amen? It's easier for us to blame somebody else than to say, hey, that's just a shortcoming. That's on me. That was all me, my problem. It's much easier to say, hey, if he hadn't said this, then I would not have said that. If she hadn't approached me like that, I wouldn't have flew off. But the reality is, if we got a short fuse, we just have to admit, God, I've got a short fuse. Can you lengthen this some? Because I'm going off on people. And so there's different ways that we can still harbor a personal dishonesty within ourselves. And I come today to tell you, it is the most dangerous thing, is a dangerous sin in the life of a Christian. We think it's okay because nobody sees it. We think because the people around us know what that shortcoming is and they just tiptoe around us, we think it's okay. But every sin, no sin is stable. It just comes and it stays right here. It always pulls you down deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, I want to take a look at a man today who paid an ultimate price because of his personal dishonesty. He had all the options and chances that any Christian could have, more so probably. But a man by the name of Judas Iscariot, he had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He had seen every miracle. He had listened to all the teaching. He had every opportunity that John or that any of the other disciples had. He had all the same opportunities. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave him a position of honor in his ministry. Judas was the treasurer. He held the bag. Whenever money came into the ministry, it was Judas's responsibility to make sure the money was kept and that the right things were purchased with it. But the Holy Spirit says in Scripture, he was a thief and he held the bag. That means he was also an extortioner. He took money out of the bag for himself. But that's an external dishonesty. And today I want to talk about the internal things. It was at the end of Jesus' ministry. He was just beginning to turn from public ministry to tell his beloved 12 what he was about to endure. They sat down at the last supper that he would ever have before he went to the cross. And it says here in Matthew 26, verse 20, it says, now when evening was come, Jesus sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. I ask you, I come to you and ask you for a heavy moving of your Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction upon every heart. Begin with my heart, spread across every heart in this worship room, across our online experience. Lord, that you deal with each of us concerning our personal dishonesties. For Lord, how can we stand before you if we have this inside of our hearts? And Lord, as we receive the offering today across the several different venues, Lord, I ask you to bless those families that give in support of this ministry, those that give in support of the van that we'll be purchasing for the Pakistani orphanage. God, I ask you to rain down your blessings upon these families. Bless their children, bless their health, Bless the fruit of their basket. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. Jesus said that one of you, talking to his 12, is going to betray me. And all 12 of them began to ask the question, Lord, is it I? Now, what strikes me about this situation is 11 of these 12 men are absolutely innocent. They're absolutely innocent, but nevertheless, they were willing to examine themselves and say, man, could that be in me? Could I be the one to do that? But yet Judas, in this very event, along with the other 12, he was saying, Lord, is it I? Now, when you go back and you read the timeline, Judas had already covenanted with the Pharisees for 30 pieces of silver. He had the money in his pocket. But he looked Jesus in the eye and said, Lord, is it me? You know, sometimes we can know that we've got issues, internal issues. And we can play it off and try to act like it was somebody else. You know, if my coworker had just not done that, I wouldn't have slapped him. When the reality is, maybe you're prone to slap folks anyway. You know, if you already got things on the inside of you, any stimulus will bring it out. But for the Christian, part of the walk of sanctification is to get those things out of the inside. If you got a hot temper, you know, don't blame that on whoever the stimulus was for you to blow up. Just be honest with God. Lord, I've got a hot temper here. I need sanctification. I need some help. Many times, even in our marital relationships, they can be hurt when both parties are not absolutely honest, not with each other, with themselves. I know when Sister Lincoln and I first got together, God slammed us together. We had gotten divorced. We had been divorced 6 years, and then we both got saved, and God just slammed our lives back together. And it was difficult. We had both been single for that many years. We had been out and through the world, and it was difficult. And we used to bump heads all the time. We used to bump heads. And I'm stronger than she is. And so I felt that should count. And it took years of God taking me to the woodshed and disciplining me in private. And many, many times I have to come back to Sister Lincoln. And it's difficult for a brother with tears streaming down my face saying, my bad, that was me. That was all me. I'm sorry. And if you ever had to do that as a husband, that's difficult. But I got so good at it because I had to do it so many times. In order to stay in right relationship with God, I had to go through that. That's how I learned. Stop doing that. That's how personal integrity comes to be internal integrity within the life of a Christian. But Judas didn't have that. He wasn't practicing it. He was simply putting on the show, Lord, is it I, with jingle, jingle, jingle in his pocket. It's a dangerous place for anyone to be. Now, when Paul began to open up the events of Jesus's life and the Old Testament in his writings, he wrote to the Corinthian church on this Last Supper. And he added some things here that give you and I insight into just how dangerous this is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, Paul is talking about the Last Supper, and he begins by saying, let a man examine himself. Now, in the actual Greek, the let a man examine, that's all one verb. And that verb basically means an honest evaluation of themselves. That's what we do when we take communion. It's an opportunity to stop and bring those things that we know are wrong before the Holy Spirit, say, and honestly examine ourselves. But if we're not willing to do that, here's what Paul says. Let him examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, how do you eat and drink unworthily? You refuse to examine yourself. You refuse to allow those personal discrepancies, those internal discrepancies, to really be brought forth and given to the Lord. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. just like Judas did. Just like Judas did. Not discerning the Lord's body. But here's the phrase I want you to see. For this cause, because of this, because of a refusal to really evaluate ourselves, for this cause, many are weak and sick, and some are even die because of this. It means that this is God's judgment against our propensity to allow dishonesty to just reign in our lives. Now, look what happened to Judas. Judas didn't just die. He died and went to hell. He walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. When Jesus sent out the disciples to heal, to cast out devils, Judas went with them. The power of God operated on him. But ultimately, because of his refusal to be honest. See, it's one thing for me to be honest with my wife or with you. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being honest with ourselves before God. We have to be absolutely transparent. And if you practice this, you know, when I come to God, I have nothing to boast about. I have nothing to rave about. I come before him and I pour everything out. And if I'm not right, I just say, God, this thing is here. And if I could have done something, I'd already done it. I'm helpless. And I need the Holy Spirit. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, again, that's an honest assessment. If we would judge ourselves, here's something to consider. When the way you see it is different from everybody else on the planet, maybe it's you. Well, that's just the way I see it. Well, evaluate that. I remember it's been some time ago. My wife told me, well, you always think you're right. I told her, well, of course I do. If I thought I was wrong, I would change and do what was right. And that's the heart every Christian should have. If we know something's not right in us, we should immediately begin to work on that thing and change and move to what's correct before the Lord. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In other words, if you have a discrepancy in your makeup, if you have a shortcoming, don't cover that with a lie. Don't cover that with a willful ignorance to acknowledge it. Here's what the Lord said through Isaiah. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And they cover with a covering, but it's not of my spirit. In other words, we find we have a discrepancy in us, and then we find a lie to cover it up with, adding sin unto sin. And the scripture plainly has said, God said, a liar will not tarry in my sight. And so it's important for us, listen, you can have something busted in your personality. Just be honest. Don't add a lie on top of it. It's already bad enough. Stop digging the hole and just say, God, this is what I am, and I need some help to not be this anymore. And God is gracious, and he'll help. But going back to Matthew 26, let's continue to look at Judas. Beginning with verse 23, all 12 of them had just asked, Lord, is it I? And Jesus answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. That passage has always amused me. Because if I'm sitting at the table and Jesus says the one that dips his hand in, I'm done. I'm getting up. Dinner's over for me. But Judas sat right there. Jesus continues, the Son of Man goeth as it was written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Now, Jesus said all of that then The next word is then, meaning after Jesus said all of that, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Now again, Judas has the money in his pocket. He knows it's him. But he's polling Jesus to see if Jesus knows it's him. And see, sometimes we can have a personal integrity problem. We can have a personal dishonesty, and we just don't want anybody else to know. We don't mind having it, long as nobody knows. And that's what God is coming to tell us today. Come, bring, pick that thing up in your spirit. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Cry out for help and mercy in the time of trouble, and God will have mercy. He will cleanse that thing. I've always been a little bit hot-headed, sometimes a little more than at other times, and a little bit, not really short-tempered, but like I just move very fast. Everything I do is fast, and so everybody's slow to me, and it can be very frustrating. Don't be laughing at me, Sister Cornelius. But over the years, as I brought that thing to God, first of all, when God sees you have an integrity, a personal weakness like that, he will put the person in your life to help you develop in that area. Now, this is going to sound comical. I run a little bit faster than the average person. Sister Lincoln likes to move slow and methodical. And so everything we do, I feel the tension. Because I can get to from the house to the car, I can get there like in 1.2 seconds. I'm in the driver's seat. I'm ready. Sister Lincoln is methodical. You know, she opens the back door first and lays her jacket in. She closes that door. She opens the front door. She sets her purse in. Then she sets her phone up. And then she slides herself in. And so God many times will put some friction in your life to help you in that area. And I've developed. It used to be I would be huffing and puffing. Man, I'm patting my foot. I'm cranking the car, honking the horn. But now I just breathe. And so sometimes dealing with these issues, they're not just like, God, I've got this issue and now it's gone. No, no, no. It's sanctification. It's a process that you work through, and the Lord brings tests into your life, and you have to pass that test before you develop in that area. And once you develop in that area, 8 months later, you've been flying colors on all the time. 8 months later, here comes the test again, just to make sure you got it. That's sanctification. But if we refuse to even look at those areas, we put ourselves in grave danger, just as Judas did. See, Judas had 3.5 years. He never even dealt with his avarice, his internal greed. He just wanted money. I don't know why you need money. You're walking with the master. You're walking with God in the flesh. What in the world are you going to buy? But he stole from the bag. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered, Master, is it I? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest, meaning that what you said is correct. You the one. Now, this is not just Judas, but we find this throughout the Bible. David did the same thing. David stole a man's wife and slept with her, Bathsheba. And got her pregnant while her husband, who was a mighty man of war, was fighting for David's honor, for the kingdom of Israel. And when David realized, oh my God, I've gotten her pregnant, Uriah, her husband, is going to find out and my name is going to be ruined, rather than to just bring it to the light and say, God, I'm in a mess here. He said, I got it. I'm going to kill him. The man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said within himself, I'm going to bring him back from the field. I'm going to put a death warrant for him in his own hand, have him take it back to Joab. And Joab read it and said, oh, David says that when the battle is hot, pull back and leave Uriah there to be smitten by the enemy. And David committed cold-blooded murder. Now, don't you think, for 1 minute, that you're better than David. not you, not me. It's nothing but the Holy Spirit in the process of sanctification, but we have to cooperate. See, once you grieve the Holy Spirit, you grieve him so many times, he'll stop talking to you in that area. And that thing, whatever it is, it will get worse. It will get out of control. It's nothing but the goodness and the grace of God that holds us in our position of sanctification where we're at. There's another man by the name of Pilate. Pilate was the governor that they brought Jesus to after they had arrested him. And they brought him to Pilate. And they were looking for a way to kill Jesus because the Jews in and of themselves, they couldn't have a death sentence. They had to have a Roman governor decree the death sentence. It says in Matthew chapter 27, Pilate first tried to quiet the crowds and they wouldn't be quiet. He tried to quiet the Jews and they wouldn't be quiet. They were saying, "We want this man dead." Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, get this, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." Now get what's happening here. They've got Jesus, who happens to be the Son of God incarnate, standing there. And they're saying, "We want him dead." And Pilate, for political expediency, says that if I don't kill him, if I don't give them the decree they want, man, it's going to be a mess here and I'm going to be called on the carpet. So he had a bowl of water brought out, and in front of all of the people, he washed his hands, saying, "I'm going to kill him, but I'm washing it off with this water. And this, I'm innocent of this, the blood of this just person." Honey, water don't wash away guilt. Water does not wash away guilt. And Pilate right there should have stood up. He had a weak constitution. He was a weak man. He should have stood up and just said, "I'm not killing this man. He's done nothing wrong." Because he even said, his wife came to Pilate earlier and said, "Have nothing to do with Jesus. Have nothing to do with that just man. I have suffered many things in a dream because of this man. Leave him alone, Pilate." Pilate gave the decree. As he washed his hands, knowing that he was guilty, he said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person." What am I preaching? You can say it's not you, but that don't make it not be you. So you can say it's your husband or your wife, but that don't make it be them. Here's the reality of it. If Sister Lincoln does cut up, it doesn't matter how bad she cuts up, I am still required to hold myself in Christian discipline. I never have an excuse for cutting up with her if she were to cut up. It's just like if somebody else robs a bank, that's no excuse for me to rob a bank. Because one person does wrong, that gives me no latitude to do the same wrong. And as Christians, we have to allow that personal integrity to grow internally in our lives. That's how we mature. That's how we become men and women of God, not allowing every little thing to cause us to fly off the handle. You know, the Lord just dropped this in my spirit. The best test you have right now, every day, right now, is watching the political theater going on in Washington. Doesn't matter whether you like it or whether you don't like it. How are you responding to it? Are you responding to the players or are you responding to truth? No matter what your stance is. Because I have seen people that watch this stuff going on in Washington. And man, I've got a brother who lives out in California. He's been out there for, I don't know, 20, 25 years. He called me. I mean, he is in a rage about the things going on in Washington. I'm like, "Hey, bro, you know, chill out. You gotta, don't have a heart attack over this stuff." But the deeper question is, why does it bother you like that? What's going on in the inside that something that's happening 1,500 miles away is such a big issue that's going to upset my life? Man, that's good preaching. It's quiet, but that's good preaching. So I said, well, I don't like Trump. Another person said, well, I don't like Biden. Another person said, well, I don't like Obama. So what? Them guys don't even know you. they don't even know your name. Why are you going to let your life be dictated by somebody that's never even heard your name? And if they did hear it, they don't care about you. Okay, I'll stop. So David, after he killed the man, if you look at the timeline, David lived in that element of self-deceit for up to 12 months. 12 months. He took Uriah to be his own wife. Uriah the Hittite is dead. It looked like he got killed in war. I'm innocent of this man's blood. It's all good. But it was about 12 months later, there was a knock at David's door. It was Nathan the prophet. And Nathan came in and said, King David, I have to tell you about a man in your kingdom. This man had flocks of lambs, just flocks of lambs. And he had a neighbor that had one little lambkin. And this rich man with all those flocks, he had a visitor come into town. And he took his neighbor's one little lambkin and served it up for the visitor. What do you think should be done to such a man? And you know what David said? Such a man don't deserve to live. His attitude, just tell me who it is, we'll have his head off his shoulders by sundown. And Nathan looked him right in the eye and said, David, you're the man. You took Uriah's only little wife. You could have had all the women in the kingdom, but you took Uriah's only little wife. But here's my point, is that although David had not done these things, he did not address them before the Lord. He just covered them up until the Lord had to send somebody under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And with punishment, he said, David, the sword will never leave your house. And that was the beginning of David's problems. His house was in turmoil until the day that he died. Even on his deathbed, his house remained in turmoil. You and I don't have to have that kind of punishment. We can just come to the throne of grace in private. You don't even have to publicly tell anybody, but come to God. Say, God, I've got this situation in my personality. I've got this addiction to my culture. I've got this tendency to lean this way, whatever that it is. It's between you and God. So God, I've got to have help with this. I can't change myself. And at least that way, if you show it to God, if you bring it openly before God, even if you died that same afternoon and you stood before God after death, at least you could say, God, I was just talking to you about that this morning. I wasn't hiding anything. My whole life was open. I wasn't hiding. Oh, but if we cover with the covering and it's not of his spirit, we add sin unto sin. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we just thank you so much for the word of God that seeks us out, that finds us. Lord, I take this word to myself first. Let me be first partaker of the fruit. God, but I ask you by your Holy Spirit that you bring conviction on everyone within the sound of my voice here within the local church, across the webcast, across the nations, as people hear this across the internet, the archives, YouTube, God, let this be a conviction upon every heart and every life. God, that we might come to you in spirit and in truth, and that we might examine ourselves in the light of the Lord. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet if you're able this morning? If you're able, just stand to your feet. And I don't know what you're dealing with. It's none of my business. But why don't you just present that thing to God and say, Lord, this is the thing in my life that I feel I need to deal with. Come on, just reach out to the Lord and just begin to tell him, God, I want to deal with this thing in my life. I don't want this to forever be a burden to me. Lord, mature me past this. Mature me past this. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning.
Lord, we need you today, just like every day, Father. We need you, Lord, to Help us, Father, to examine ourselves. Give us a desire, Lord God, a thirst for you and your righteousness. We are nothing without you, Father. We cannot walk this walk without you. We cannot live the life that you would have us to live without you, Father. Help us to humble our hearts, God. Soften our hearts towards you and your will and way for our lives. We lift this up to you, Father, with a humble heart, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful that we serve a loving and a forgiving God. And despite our shortcomings and the things that we struggle with each and every day, he still loves us and he still forgives us. But we have to be honest with ourselves in order to ask him for that forgiveness and then walk in the light that he is. Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. I would like to remind those who haven't given to please give and support the ministry. And just reminding everyone also to support our Pakistanian van project with an envelope to give if you're able. Pray about that as well. And then reminding everyone that Brother Jason Stidham will be here for both services on March 30th. And with that, I wish you all a blessed week. And if you're able, come back to the 11 o'clock service. May the Lord be with you. You are dismissed.